Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I am your host. And once again, I am more than thrilled to introduce the YouTube famous Nick from Aquaholic. How are you, Nick?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Great. Well, it's so good to have you back. I mean, I think it's been 6.5, 7 months since the last time we chatted.
Yeah, the world has changed.
Yeah, I mean, you had just reached, I think, the 100K subscriber mark at that stage.
Yes, I think that's right.
Yeah, and in that short 6 months, we've already surpassed the 200K, and we're now at like 219 now.
Yeah, it's picking up very nicely. It's very pleasing.
That's amazing, because, I mean, you know, with the lockdown and the fact that what you do is, you know, take people through beautiful yachts, the fact that you just carried on, and I mean, you were so intuitive because you didn't stop. You thought, okay, well, now that I can't go and see all these fancy yachts, what am I going to do? So you did this how-to series. You even went to your neighbor's homes and took people through these absolutely amazing, luxurious homes. And we also got to see a luxury motorhome as well. So, and then you did a Meet the Owner series. And it's just like one thing to another, but you've never stopped and you continue to provide that content on a daily basis. And, you know, your fans are just all over that, loving every single second of it.
Yeah, I was very lucky when the lockdown happened. We'd had the Dusseldorf boat show in January and I got a lot of videos there. And then we had the Miami yacht show in February and the lockdown happened in March, if I remember rightly. And so I was in a very good position, only by luck, not by judgment or by anything else. It was just one of those happy, happy coincidences that as we went into lockdown, I had a good sort of backup of videos. But of course, nobody knew how long the lockdown was going to go on for. So was it going to go on for 6 weeks or 6 months or what? So then you have to make a decision on what you do with that content. So I dropped back from 3 a week to 2 a week in terms of uploads. And then I started to try and augment it. So I did some walking videos of a local area. But I tried to keep the theme of the channel is Aquaholic. So I tried to keep a sort of waterside theme. So the walks I did were all along the coast paths and around harbours and that kind of thing. And I also contacted a local estate agent that does very, very nice sort of upmarket houses. And they had some nice properties that were sort of waterside. And so that was enabled me to do those without having to travel very far. And it's just a way of just trying to keep the yacht tours coming, but just sort of, you know, boost it out a little bit. And also a bit more variety. I think, you know, perhaps if people just watch yacht tour after yacht tour after yacht tour, maybe they don't seem to, but I just worry that people will just get a bit bored with it. And so if I can get some of the bits and pieces on the channel and just try and round it out a bit, it's just trying to make it more of a series and less of just doing the same thing over and over.
Well, one thing that most of your fans have to say about you is that part of the reason they follow you is because you're just real. You're Nick. There's nothing fancy. There's nothing overdone. You're just you. What you see is what you get. Are you exactly like this in real life?
I don't know. You'd have to ask somebody else. I think so. As far as I'm aware, yeah, no, it is what it is. And I don't have, you know, a lot of these guys, especially the brokers who are obviously, you know, they're coming at it from a different angle from me. So they're using YouTube very much as a tool to try and help sell the boats, and they're doing it very successfully. But therefore, their production values need to be much higher than mine, because if you're selling something that's seven figures, you know, you've got to present it absolutely right. Whereas I'm coming at it from a different angle. I'm not selling anything. I'm not trying to really promote anything. I just am looking around some nice boats and filming it. And so my approach, I think, is different, because what I'm trying to get out of it is very different, and that seems to capture people's imagination.
So when you go out and do anything that it is that you do with your YouTube channel, are you always thinking about your audience and how you can connect with them and how you can make them feel as if they are part of what you're doing?
I guess so. I think actually sometimes it's almost like, I mean, I use a GoPro, so it's a very small and fairly basic camera. Again, it's nothing flash at all. And sometimes it's almost like chatting to that. It's and so you know, you are talking almost directly to the audience as though it's a one-to-one. So, you know, it's sort of, you know, let's go look down here, let's see what's in this cupboard, let's see what's down this path, let's go and look at this house, as though you're doing it with a friend. And I think maybe that comes across, that people receive it in that way. And again, as I say, it's a very different way of approaching it, I think, to the way that a lot of people do it.
Well, you talk about other people, you know, taking a look at some of these absolutely amazing yachts that cost so much money, but you just recently headed into that territory yourself with, I think it was an $11.7 million super yacht from Princess Yachts.
Yeah, absolutely. And I always have done or tried to do the big boats. But I think it's not necessarily that the boats are different, it's the approach is different because what I'm trying to get out of it is different. So again, that was a perfect example of, you know, what I wanted from that was to see what the boat was like. I'm fascinated by boats and I wanted to see how I saw it when it was being built, not the actual one, the one before, and made a video. And this was the follow-up that everyone had been waiting for. Everybody had seen that boat in build and seen the potential, but wanted to see it realized. And so for me and for everybody else, I think it's a really great opportunity to get on board of that boat. And what was brilliant was that the guys at Princess said, look, if you're coming down, why don't we take the boat out and go and give it a run? And it better still, again, was the fact that then when we went to do it, it just happened to be blowing almost a gale. So it was, I think it was a 4, 6 or 7 gusting 8. So it was some pretty big seas out in the channel. And we went anyway. And I think it was interesting because that boat is all about accommodation. And I know that some people have perhaps thought, well, you know, it's a very high, wide boat to get the space in, which it does very, very well. But maybe that's going to affect the seakeeping of it. And, you know, people who have never been on boats like that, in fact, that type of boat is pretty new. It was great to be able to go out into some rough weather and say, look, this is actually what it's like, so we can find out. And it just underscores that it is still, although it is a fantastic floating island, floating apartment, call it what you will, it's also still a fantastic boat, which I think was interesting to see. I think perhaps that's why they did it, because they wanted to show that this is still, first and foremost, a very, very good boat.
So do you think we're going to see more of these manufacturers come on board and talk about, you know, the process that goes into it in the future?
Yeah, well, potentially, yeah, and I hope so. I think it adds an extra sort of facet, again, to the channel, and it's back to that same thing of not wanting to just do yacht tour after yacht tour. I mean, that's important. That's the core of the channel. But I think it's important to try and branch out a little bit and just bring more for the viewer to actually enjoy. So behind the scenes, factory tours of boats in build, talking to the manufacturers, all that kind of stuff, sea trials, it's all good extra content, and it just helps to sort of flesh things out a bit for everybody.
Well, I remember the last time we talked as well, there was a few out there that you'd reached out to and they'd never gotten back to you. Have you heard from them recently or at all yet?
No, nothing's changed.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, that surprises me, because yeah. I mean, look at your numbers. I mean, even some of, you know, just on YouTube today, some of those individual videos are, I mean, through the roof with numbers. If you're going to sell a yacht, that's kind of what you want to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that X95, I think, is probably the most successful video to date. And that's partly because it is such an incredible boat and partly because the numbers of Aquaholic are steadily growing. So, you know, you put those two things together. But that video hit, it just passed 24 hours, but just gone 24 hours, it hit 100,000 views. So it's some serious coverage. And there are, I know for a fact, there are some boat owners out there, you know, some fairly serious boat owners out there, you know, multi-million pound boat owners watching the channel. So, yeah, and I would have thought as well with a lockdown that would make people think we need to get a bit more online. But I guess some people just don't see the value in it and maybe never will. So it is how it is. But luckily, there's plenty of people that do, like Princess, like that X95, and quite a few others, Sunseeker, Fairline, Azimut, Absolute, you know, all these guys, they're really behind it. They're really, really positive about it. Pearl is another one, did the Pearl 62 recently, which was fantastic. So yeah, it's there's plenty of people out there that really understand the benefit, and they see the benefits of it as well. There's one boat dealer in the UK in particular, who has sold a £2 million 65-foot brand new Flybish boat, and he said to me, he said specifically because the guy had seen it on YouTube and wasn't aware of the boat, particularly perhaps knew the heard of the make, but wasn't aware of anything about it. Saw the video, thought, wow, that looks really nice. Came to see one as a result of the video, and ended up buying one. So it does work. There are people out there, but I think perhaps there's a slightly old school perception among some people that YouTube's just for teenagers and gamers and so forth.
Well, I think we saw that prior to the lockdown, you know, pretty much straight across the board, the auto industry and digital was just not best friends. And the scramble, once everybody was in lockdown, to become, you know, the leader in digital. And it just didn't work. And I, you know, I sort of find that a lot of them, not everybody, to be fair, but a lot of them have gone back to doing things the way they used to do. But, you know, your channel is an absolute example of what can be done with digital. And I want to make it clear, too, that none of these boat manufacturers, none of these brokers that have these boats, they're not paying you to take a look at their boat. You're doing your look-throughs of these boats because you find them interesting and want to go and see them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was funny, I had a conversation with someone recently, and he said that when I first approached him and said, I'd like to do videos of your boats, and he said, yeah, okay, fair enough. And he said to me, he said, I kind of thought that you'd do maybe, you know, a few, and then you'd come back and say, right, if you want to do more, we're going to have to pay for them. He said, so I'm kind of surprised that you never have. But I've always said I never would, because I don't want the videos to become paid promotion. I think you lose all of that spontaneity. If you've got somebody saying, right, I want you to show this, I don't want you to show that, I want you to particularly focus on this and ignore that, you know, that's not so good or whatever else, don't go in the engine room, do go in here. It just wouldn't work. It just wouldn't be an aquaholic video. I think you've got to approach it from the perspective of an interested enthusiast. We want to look at this boat. We want to go into every area. We want to open every hatch. We want to have a good old rummage about. And so, I don't charge for them, and certainly no intention of ever doing so. I don't think it would work, in fact.
I think that's probably one of the things, and from the comments that I've read, that people like the most about what you do is that it isn't led by commercial enterprise. You know, nothing in life is perfect, straight across the board. You're always going to find something that is a bit niggly or just not the way you would do it or the way you would like it. But that's okay. As long as, you know, the majority of things are, but they want to see that, I think. They want to see that it's just as imperfect as they are. And I think that just makes it much more watchable.
Well, I think boats are very subjective, and it's always interesting to read the comments, and I always do try and read all of the comments. And it's quite funny because you'll get one guy who'll go, that boat's absolutely perfect. It's exactly how a, for example, 50-foot boat should be. And the next one will be, that's terrible. Why would you make a boat like that? And then you get somebody going, oh, the interior is just so bland. I hate that bland interior. They'll never settle with that bland interior. And then the next comment will be, I love the interior. It's so low-key and it's so stylish. And it's so, you know, even within that, everybody's tastes vary. And what always amuses me is that a lot of the time everybody feels, not everybody, that's not true, but a lot of people feel that their taste is absolute. So they won't say, I don't like that interior. I think it's a bit bland. They'll just say, that interior is too bland. As though that's it. They're the absolute, you know, decision maker on this sort of sense of taste. But they're very subjective, and the boat market is very big, and there are a lot of variations in it, and a lot of scope. So what's good for one person isn't good for another. But I think it's important to understand that you're not trying to build a boat for everybody. You're trying to build a boat for a specific customer base. And as long as they get it and they like it, it doesn't matter whether other people don't. And I think the comments are always really, really interesting, and seeing people's different takes on it. Actually, that X95 is a perfect example, because it really splits opinion. Some people understand that that boat is all about accommodation, and other people less so. It's not perhaps what they would go for. And so it's quite a polarizing boat. But those that get it really get it, and those that don't like it really don't like it. So I think we've got more comments on that particular video already, perhaps, than any other video that's on the channel.
Well, actually, one of the comments that I saw, because I mean, it does look like a pretty cool boat, to be honest, but one of the comments that I saw was about the bay windows that they have down at the bottom of the boat. How can you tell I'm not a sailor? But they were commenting they wouldn't have put the bay windows where the bay windows were. But when you talk about the fact that it is built for accommodation, it makes sense.
Yeah, it's a boat with very much with a purpose, and there's no doubt at all that for the people who are actually buying these things, which ultimately is the only thing the manufacturer is interested in, is finding buyers for them. That's how they stay in business. It's a boat that works extraordinarily well, because accommodation is king. Because for people who buy these things, you know, they go to stay on them, to have fun on them, to enjoy them with their families, and to have the space and the facilities to do that is what they most seek.
Well, let me ask you, I'm sure that you're constantly up to date on the new renderings and the new designs that are coming out there, the concepts. What do you think of some of these things? I saw one just the other day, this swan-like electric yacht that is being imagined by a designer. How often do these yachts get actually purchased and built? Or do generally they just sort of stay in somebody's mind?
I think it's a little bit like cars. You get these concept cars that come out from time to time, and you used to see them at motor shows. I don't think that happens quite so much now, but you certainly see drawings and that kind of thing. And I think they give a clue as to the future sometimes. I think they give the designer free rein. It's a really good way of saying, hey, this is what I can do. But a lot of the time, those boats don't get built. And sometimes these designs get put out there so that to see whether there is somebody out there who go, actually, yeah, that's fantastic. That's what I want. I do think a lot of these concepts are very interesting, but how well they work in the real life is the acid test. And that's the point. It's got to actually not just look good. It's got to work for people, work on the water, work as accommodation, work as a home, work as something to enjoy and entertain and do all the things that you want to do with it. It's like a house. You could have a fantastically designed house, but if you're not comfortable in it and you can't entertain in it and there aren't the things that you need to have in it, you know, the garage is too small to fit the car in and the, you know, this sort of stuff, then it doesn't work. So first and foremost, these have got to work. And, you know, these boats have been around for a while now. People have been building production boats since the 60s in glass fiber. And these manufacturers, you know, the big ones have been around a long while. Princess has been around over 50 years. Sunseeker has been around over 50 years and so on. You know, and they're pretty good at what they do. They've kind of got the hang of it. But it is interesting to see those new concepts coming out. This X95 is a new concept. Sunseeker have got a new boat coming out, which I'm hoping to go and visit at some stage. And again, there's an awful lot of new design and interesting features on that, which I'm very, very keen to see. So we're starting to see a bit of diversification, that wasn't there before. It used to be very cookie cutter. So you'd have like a 40-foot boat, and then a 45-foot would be the same, but a bit bigger, and the 50 would be a bit. And it's the same with cars. You know, if you go back 20 years, so you'd have like, BMW would have a 3 Series, which was a four-door saloon with a boot at the back and four doors, and then a 5 Series, which was exactly the same but a bit bigger, and a 7 Series, which is exactly the same but a bit bigger again. But you look at them now, and they've got, you know, they've got the sort of engine they've got. I mean, a huge diversification. Mercedes is the same. You used to have a C-Class and an E-Class and an S-Class, all cookie-cutter versions of each other's at different size. And now you've got all the off-road stuff, you've got the SUV stuff, you've got amazing, amazing range, sports cars and all kinds of stuff. And I think that's starting to happen with boats now. People are going, okay, we used to have a motor cruiser or a flybridge range of motor cruisers and a sports range, and that's it. We just do different sizes of those. But now, you know, boats like the Princess R35, which is a high-performance boat, or the Fairline F-Line 33, different to the other models in the range. And it's great. It's great to see that diversification. It's great to see that choice, because for the end consumer, they're the guys that are benefiting and the girls that are benefiting, because they're getting choice, they're getting range. It's like the cars again. You know, you don't just go out and buy a family saloon car anymore. You look at estates, you look at SUVs, and you look at 4x4s, and you look at a vast range of stuff that you can buy. That's happening with boats now. It's really interesting.
Well, I mean, it's interesting to see as well that the yachting industry as a whole now, we're starting to see a lot of catamarans that are sort of going crazy this last 6 months. Catamaran sales are up, and as well excursion yachts. So the marketplace is changing from what it was, you know, 5 years ago even.
Yeah, well, that's that diversification, but it's also very much focused on how people actually use their boats. So whereas before you'd follow a very strict formula, now people are going, well, hang on, let's take a step back. Let's step right away from the boat and let's focus on the owner of the boat and their family or friends or whoever they do their boating with. Let's see what they want, and then let's try and build something that works. And I think that's why catamarans are popular, because a catamaran is a fantastic floating island, more than anything. I mean, yes, it's a sailing boat or a motorboat or whatever, but it's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant floating island. And actually, you know, for a lot of us, that's what we do. We go out, we drop anchor somewhere, and we sit on our floating island, and we swim off it, and we have lunch on it, and we enjoy it with our friends and watch the sun go down and sleep on it, whatever else, and then we potter back to the marina afterwards. And so why not build a floating island that has to be a boat rather than a boat that you can floating island on?
That's a good point, actually. I never thought of it that way, but I have been on a catamaran, and it literally was like that. It was absolutely, for me, it's the only boat that I've ever been able to go on that doesn't make me seasick.
Well, that's certainly a help, of course.
So certainly yes. I was able to explore the boat and enjoy the boat as opposed to, you know, spending most of my time leaning over the side of the boat, which completely different experience. So yeah. What is next for Aquaholic? Where do you see yourself going in the next 6 months, year?
It's a very good question. And I think the answer to that will, in very great part, depend on the COVID situation, because you know, what I need more than anything is the ability to move around. And when I went to America, it was the first time I've been to America specifically for Aquaholic. I'd been there before doing boat tests for magazines and that kind of thing. It was the first time I went for Aquaholic. It was a little bit of a gamble, but I've made a couple of good contacts, in particular Bob Dennison, who I've met at the Cannes Boat Show and been in touch with since, who's just an absolutely fantastic guy. And he said to me, look, Nick, come to the Miami show. Come to the show. I guarantee you, I will get you on at least 10 big boats, and you know, then anything else you do while you're here is down to you. But I guarantee it won't be a wasted trip. So I did it, and I had an absolutely fantastic time out there. It was really good. It was good for Aquaholic. It was good for me, and met some people and made some contacts. And I actually came away from that thinking, I can see me doing this regularly. I can see me getting on a plane like 3 or 4 times a year out to Florida, meet up with some of the super yacht brokers, get some great videos, come back, fabulous. I was really, really keyed up for this. Of course, then COVID comes along and that's it. It's dead. That whole idea is dead. So it's going to depend what happens with COVID. I would love for that. You know, if we can somehow get past this COVID situation, I don't know what the answer is. It doesn't appear to be going away. But whether they do eventually come up with some kind of sort of antidote to it or whatever you want to call it, so that we can all move around freely again. If that happens, that's something I'd love to do. I'd love to get more American stuff on the channel. 25% of Aquaholic's viewers are in the USA, so it makes sense that we get some content for them, which is why I went to Miami in the first place, to try and get some proper American boats on the channel, some Hatteras and things like that. And as I say, it was a very successful trip, but one that at the minute can't be repeated.
Would you ever consider doing something like an excursion type thing for your channel?
We did last year. We were invited to have a couple of days on a Princess 72 charter yacht out in Mallorca and make a video of it. It's for boats.co.uk. And the MD of that company, a chap called James Bond, really lovely guy, big fan of the channel. And he said, come and give it a go and make a video. And I went out there with my partner and our kids and also a couple of other people as well, her brother and his partner. And we just had an absolute, absolute ball. And we actually made, I was quite worried because it was the equivalent to quite an expensive charter. I mean, if you'd wanted to go and do it and pay for it yourself, it was probably, you know, you could have bought a pretty nice brand new car for the same money. So I was very aware that we were getting this amazing, amazing experience. But we so I worked quite hard on the video, and we did actually get the best video that I think I've ever done, which is on Aquaholic now. It's called, I think it's just called The Ultimate Charter or something like that, or Ultimate Charter. And we still all watch it regularly now. It's quite funny. But we were planning to do that again this year, again, COVID situation. So the people who had that Princess 72, they have an Oyster sailing boat also out in Mallorca. It's an Oyster 825, I think it is. So lovely, beautiful sailing boat. And they were so pleased with what we did with the Princess and the videos that we got and the interest that it's got for them. They've been very popular videos. They said, come on out, have a few days on that, you know, do the same thing again. We were all keyed up for it. We had it booked in the calendar and everything else. But we had to drop it because of the quarantine situation. So it was at the end of August. And then, so my partner is a school teacher. Her kids are still at school, that sort of thing. We couldn't have come back and then gone back to work and school and everything else because we'd had to quarantine 2 weeks. So in the end, I had to get dropped. But very keen to do more of that. But it's the COVID situation again. It's really, really crippling travel. I went out to Mallorca in August. And it was a really good trip. Got a lot of videos. But it was so stressful because of the concern all the time about it and about, you know, you think, well, if I get ill out there and I've got to get back and, you know, all this kind of stuff, it's really worrying. And how relevant that worrying is, I don't, this is what none of us know. You don't know whether it's how big the risk really is, how worried you should be about it, whether you should be doing it at all that kind of stuff. But it does take the joy out of it. And so that is very much a difficulty at the moment. And foreign travel is something I'm a bit reluctant to do currently, and if I do it, it'll be like a day somewhere and then straight back, that kind of thing. It's not much fun. It's not much fun sitting on a plane in a mask either and all this kind of stuff. It's yeah, it's a shame. But you know, I have to say, having said all that, that I know that I'm very, very lucky. It's affected me far less than it's affected an awful lot of people. You know, I don't have a business that's completely stymied. You know, you think of people who've got restaurants and pubs and that kind of thing, and the restrictions that those guys are now operating under must be so, so difficult. So I am very, very appreciative of my situation, but without doubt this COVID thing is an absolute nuisance, and it's making planning very, very difficult for everybody.
Well, I have to tell you, when this COVID situation is over, because it will be over, I'm sure of that. Positive thinking, the power of positive thinking, right?
Yeah.
I saw a news story just the other day, yesterday actually, a company in Northern British Columbia, Canada, they have just started this new heliskiing on a yacht, and you can rent the yacht and go heliskiing for, I think it's a week, for $319,000 Canadian dollars. But I thought, wow, Nick should go. You ski.
Yeah, I like your thinking. Yeah, absolutely. It's astonishing. Actually, there was a feature recently in a super yacht magazine called Boat International, and they ran a feature on all the different experiences, or some of the different experiences, I should say, that you can actually buy as part of a charter. And it is unbelievable, the stuff that whatever you're into. So if you're into exploring, you know, there'll be super yachts that can take you to these beautiful places where they'll then have guides on board you exploring, or mountain climbing, or as you say, heli skiing, or you know, and things for kids as well, like sort of, you know, pirate experiences where they're all geared up. So you go to an island and it's like a pirate island, and they do a whole pirate themed thing. It's astonishing. As I like to say, you know, people who say money doesn't buy you happiness just aren't shopping in the right places.
Well, it's probably better to be crying in a Lamborghini than it is to be crying in a rundown, beat up Toyota.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. I think money buys you happiness, but I think if you are happy, then money can certainly buy you some very, very happy opportunities.
For sure. Well, you know what? We'll have to work on this company. I've sent out a request for an interview with them as a fellow Canadian. So maybe I'll say, you know what, Nick over at Aquaholics, it'd be great to have him come on board and do a heli skiing trip with you folks and have it on his YouTube channel. I'll do my push for you.
Yeah, you're very kind. I've never skied in my life, so that might be a slight issue.
I think going straight up to heli skiing might not be a good option.
It might, yeah, I mean, you know, might get a few hits watching me get my ankles broken, but beyond that, it might not be perfect. But, you know, maybe I'll sit on the yacht and other people can ski.
That's right. Yeah, no, not the greatest place to learn how to ski is the top of a mountain that has fresh powder that you've never actually, you know, yeah, it's usually like straight down and you have no idea what's underneath the surface of the snow. So, yeah, we'll try for something else for you.
Yeah, it's a little more modest, perhaps.
Well, Nick, as always, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on board here at Yachting International Radio because, you know, like your fans say, you're just real, you're true, you say it the way it is, and you've always got a whole pile of interesting things to talk about, and we love having you here.
Well, that's very kind of you, and it's a pleasure to be on board the good ship again.
Well, you know what? We're going to have to revisit you again in another 6 months because I don't think it's going to be long until you reach 300,000 viewers or followers, subscribers. When is the next big award they give?
Oh, it's a million. So you get a plaque and 100,000, and that's here somewhere. Here it is. Hiding on top of a bookcase. That's a plaque at 100,000. You get another one at a million.
Okay.
One at 10 million. So I think that's some way off, but I would like that million one. So yeah, like and subscribe, guys.
Well, you know what? It didn't take you long to go from that to 109, an extra 119,000. So you know what? I have a very sneaky suspicion that it won't be, I would say, and you know what? I did a prediction when you were just about at 100,000 too. I did a prediction and I said, you'll be there at a certain time. And I was right. So my prediction for a million for you is that you'll get there in under the year.
Under a year from now?
Yeah.
So a million?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that would be great. I might be a bit optimistic, but that would be great. But who knows? Yeah, it's a funny old business. And as I said right at the beginning, I don't begin to pretend to understand it. I just try and, you know, do the best I can and enjoy it. And you know, what comes, comes. But yeah, that will be something.
Well, if I'm right, then the next time you get invited on one of these absolutely amazing things, you have to invite me on board for dinner. I won't stay longer than that because I get seasick.
Bear that in mind.
Once again, Nick, thank you ever so much. And thank you for your taking time out of your busy schedule.
No problem at all.
If you guys have not yet, head on over to YouTube, type in Aquaholics, subscribe, because there is everything there, I would say from the kitchen sink, but it's not really, it's the galley sink, straight through from front to back of that yacht, including homes, including, you know, motor homes, how-to series. I mean, if you name it and you're into the world of yachting, it is on Aquaholic, and Nick does the most amazing walkthroughs. So I would definitely suggest heading on over and subscribing. Once again, you've been watching another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I have been your host. Tune in again for another episode.